Graham's views, claims, and or representations may not necessarily reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Communications.
Hi, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's toll free, 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here is your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until 2 o'clock here, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Hope you'll be able to stick with us here this afternoon. Normally, we have the phone lines open, but we're not going to be taking phone calls today. We've got a special guest in the studio with me here this afternoon, Chris Hofacker, and he is going to be talking about church security and some issues there. He operates Law to Grace Ministries, and I'm going to introduce him in just a moment. Let's go ahead and open in a word of prayer here this afternoon. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air today, Lord. And again, as we approach this topic of security in our churches, it's a topic that a lot of people don't think needs to be addressed. And even looking at it and thinking of it myself, I just wish that it didn't have to be, but this is a real issue today. So we do pray that some of the information that we cover today, maybe some of the things that we talk about, is something that you could use to help people, and just be an encouragement to your people and encouragement to pastors and churches out there. And Lord, just pray that you bless this program. And again, with all things, that these things would come together, advance your kingdom, and that we might see people come to Christ through the things we talk about. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as I said, we're talking about church security here issues today, and that's an unusual thing to be talking about, but we talk about a little bit of everything on the program. And Chris, welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Introduce yourself. Tell us about your ministry and how you got into this.
Well, thank you, Pastor Al. It's an honor to be here, privilege to be here. Good to see you again. Run into Pastor Al every once in a while at some meetings, and it's just good to be with you today. I spent about 25 years in law enforcement as a police officer. During that time, I was a police lieutenant, patrol division commander, and thought I had my career pretty well figured out, knew what I was going to do, when I was going to retire, had the whole plan down like we all so often do. And with about 2 years left to go until I could retire with a full pension, God called me into evangelism, into the ministry. And so I left my job and have been doing evangelism work now for the past several years. But during my time in law enforcement, I worked as a use of force and defensive tactics instructor, trainer, and expert for the state of Ohio Attorney General's office. And so I had a little bit of opportunity to train in that area and become an expert in that. I also ran a couple mixed martial arts schools and trained in several police academies in the state of Ohio, trained their cadets as they were going through in use of force issues and defensive tactics. So when I was going through that, I never imagined in a million years that I'd ever be using that in a way that we're using it today. It's a shame when you look at the situation that we're under in today's society, and violence seems to go everywhere. Churches are not exempt, as you would think they might be, but with no respect for God today as there should be, it's nothing's off limits. So what we've tried to do with Law to Grace Ministries is, on top of the preaching, I try to use the knowledge that I have and the understanding I have of use of force issues and my knowledge of the martial arts background and the defensive tactics that I taught to help churches start and establish security teams. Any general defensive tactics needs they'd have, any self-defense needs they'd have, helping churches institute things from policies on these issues to how to talk to the press if an incident would happen. We deal with issues like CCW permit holders in a church. And we also work with Christian schools as well in these areas. There's just so many areas that we don't think about. And with Ohio's laws the way they are now, for an example, so many carrying CCWs in our churches today, there are laws regarding that I don't think most of our churches even know about. And there's extra things that probably should be done as a precaution to the church that I don't think we address or deal with very regularly. So we try to help in these issues.
And a lot of people listening probably think, well, what's the need? I mean, we're God's people. We should be trusting God. God's our fortress. He's our defense in a time of trouble, all that sort of thing. And when you think about it, I just throw one case out here because it wasn't too far from here. In Ashtabula last March, Easter time, you're probably familiar with the case. It was the Hiawatha Church of God in Christ. A man was exiting the church after the Easter services, and his son came up brandishing a handgun, shot him, And then after he killed the guy, I guess, out on the front of the church, he ran into the church, still had a number of the people in there, you know, crying out that the shooting was the will of Allah, that he was doing God's will. You know, you can imagine the scene inside the church. And from what I understand about the case, he was arrested and he didn't shoot anybody else, but it very well could have been a lot worse. And we think, it's not going to happen in our church. Well, it's we see these things happening. And if you think about it, in Nehemiah, I just wanted to put this verse out here to kind of, our passage, to kind of set the tone here a little bit. In Nehemiah chapter 4, the Bible tells us that when Nehemiah and the people were rebuilding the walls and such around Jerusalem, in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 7, it says, "But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobias and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them." So here you have God's people, the Jewish people, return back to the land. They're back in Jerusalem, and God's directed them to rebuild the wall. They're doing God's work, and they're trusting God to protect them. After all, he brought them there. And there's enemies that wanted to hinder what they're doing, and we certainly know we have enemies. The devil walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And they prayed, and they trusted God for safety, of course, and protection, but it says they set a watch. So they didn't just sit back and expect God to do everything, did they?
No. No, and preparation is so important. I think sometimes there's a mentality out there that as Christians, we don't need to be concerned about things that, these things that God will just always protect and take care of and watch over. But I believe that things would be done decently in order. I believe God does expect us to prepare for things. When you think about it overall, some people in the world today will tell you that we don't need any kind of force, that God is not a God that believes in force of any sort. I always like to remind them that Psalm 144 in verse 1, David made the statement, "Blessed be the Lord my strength, which teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight." Very interesting verse. But you can go through scripture and find time after time. You might remember in Luke chapter 5 where Peter cuts off the ear of the soldier as they come to arrest Christ in the garden. And people say, well, Jesus rebuked Peter for what he did. But you have to go back just a few verses earlier, and you'll find Jesus telling them to sell their raiment and to buy a sword. And disciples actually said, "We have two," and he said, "That's enough." So he wasn't against the sword. It wasn't the fact that Peter rose up. It was that there's a time for that. There's a time to do that. And Jesus being arrested in the garden was simply part of Bible prophecy being fulfilled. He knew it was the journey to the cross.
Right.
Exactly. And so had the disciples been listening, had Peter been really paying attention to what he'd been telling them the past few days, he'd have known this was what's taking place, and it wasn't the time for it.
So. Exactly. In fact, you're bringing up the sword and carrying the sword. Over in Romans chapter 13, it talks about the government officials, and I'm going to drop down to verse 4. It says here, talking about the government officials here, and it says, "For he is the minister of God to thee for good, but if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doth evil." The sword there, that was a deadly weapon. That wasn't for target practice, as I tell people. It had a purpose for projecting deadly force, and that was what they had in their day.
That's right. There wasn't. It's not a taser.
No.
It's not a billy club. It is a weapon of death, and you're right, brother. It's exactly what it was used for, and that's what God talked about. It wasn't it wasn't a fuller's club. It was something that would issue death. So even as a sign of, even as an issue of deadly force, there's times that God does indeed condone that. The problem today is that we want to put the blame on the inanimate object. We put the blame on the weapon rather than on the person yielding the weapon, where God's always had a plan in his word for dealing with people that use those types of things in a manner that they should not. You know, we have the big controversy there over the death penalty, but that's always been God's way of dealing with people that would use those things inappropriately. It's not the weapon. The weapon's an amoral thing. It's an inanimate object. It's only good or bad depending on the person using it. And he often, when you study scripture, he oftentimes used men to fulfill his judgments, if you will. So many times people say, well, the vengeance is mine, saith the Lord.
Right.
And certainly the Bible does say that, but God uses his men to fulfill his plan of judgment. You go back to 1 Samuel, and if you remember there, he reminds Samuel that the children of Israel, as they were leaving Egypt, ran into trouble with the Amalekites, and God was about to perform his vengeful act upon them, he went and gave the order to Saul to carry out that vengeance and told him to kill all the women and children and all the animals and everything, sucklings alike. And when Saul didn't fulfill that, you remember, right, he lost favor with God. God used David to kill Goliath, and you go through Judges and find one after another that he used to kill another. God often led his troops to war. So although God is a God of love, he's all in his love, indeed, in the truest sense of the word, he's also a God of judgment and often uses men to fulfill those judgments. It's the same thing in the good aspect. I don't know why we'd think it any different. God wants his churches to operate, but he doesn't rain money out of heaven. He's got a plan, a purpose. He uses men to to pay those bills, and he uses people to bless people. That's how God works.
They don't get paid just magically.
Right.
That's exactly right. You're listening to Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, speaking with Chris speaking with Chris Hofacker of Law to Grace Ministries. You've got a website. Why don't you give that website address real quick?
It's www.lawandgraceministries.org.
All right, lawandgraceministries.org. You've got a lot of good information there. And, you know, the threat is very real out there against our churches. We're not immune. I gave the case in Ashtabula earlier this year. And these things, you've got a whole list of things that have happened over the past several years. And certainly we don't need to go into all the details and all the things there. The danger is there. But as a pastor, or if another pastor's listening, or maybe a church deacon listening, or maybe listening, or a somebody who's an usher in a church, or just a member of a church, what should they be aware of, and maybe something that they can do? That a lot of churches operate on a shoestring budget sometimes, and they're concerned about the cost of doing things. So what could they be aware of, and maybe some basic things that they could begin even today that would make them much safer?
I would say it's always a good place to start, and most of your insurance companies and insured churches, I know Brotherhood Mutual and Church Mutual both are recommending that churches start security teams.
Right.
These would be men that would be on the lookout. You don't expect everybody in your church to constantly be looking and paying attention to surroundings, but you have certain people appointed to do that and to watch and pay attention to unusual things in the parking lot, unusual people coming through the door that they maybe don't recognize. And of course, we want visitors in our church. You've got to be friendly, and you don't look at people in a suspective way, if you will. But
That actually brings up a very interesting point, because in a sense, you just said it, we want people to come into our church and we want visitors. So the idea of unknown people coming into your church free, into your building freely, you know, we don't want to stop that. So we're there. You know, when I was in the Air Force, I worked in a building that had no windows. I was surrounded by chain link fence and razor wire. We had motion detectors, pressure sensors, and armed guards patrolling it 24/7. We didn't want people to come in that didn't belong in there. You had to go through a whole procedure just to get in, and then you had to get through the cipher locks inside the building. We didn't want people coming in there. Somebody was in there we didn't know. It was pretty evident. But as a pastor, even though I meet in a hotel myself, our church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, meets in the Holiday Inn Express there in Richfield, but we want people we don't know coming in, because that's how you build a church. So what's a pastor to do?
Well, I think, again, you just have to train your people, I think, of how to handle and how to do things. I think you remain, as you always have, friendly. You know, you're just a little more observant, paying a little more attention than the average person. We go through life with blinders on a lot of times and don't really pay attention to things around us. And as you mentioned earlier, the mentality is always, it's not going to happen to us.
Right.
But in those places where it has happened, if you ask the pastors and the people there, they'd probably tell you, well, they were one of those people or one of those churches that said it wasn't going to happen here, and now it has. And so in my 25 years in law enforcement, I found very few people that were victims and were expecting to be victims. It just doesn't
work. I usually don't
like
walk
that.
Out and say, I'll be a victim today.
That's right.
How real is the threat? I mean, what the average church, I mean, we don't want people to live in fear and everything, but real is it?
We certainly don't want to overkill, much as the press has done with the school shootings today.
Right.
It's been overstated, overkill.
I've forgotten about that. It's kind of timely we're on today with this subject.
It is, and it's actually, it's the, they said the last two, in a report in USA Today, this is the lowest number of school shootings we've had in two decades, and so it's not really on the rise like they'd have you to believe. It's not as bad as what the press would have
you. It's just
you.
That when it happens, you hear about it. It's just
sure
like
you do.
A car car accidents versus airplane accidents.
We have much more access with media today than we ever did before, mm-hmm. ways to get things, you know, you'd never know about an accident a state away or something happened two states away mm-hmm. years ago until it took some time to get there. And now we know instantly almost. There's videos of it because people have cell phones and everything else. But it is a real issue today. And I say it's always going to be prepared. You think about fires. You know, I never have known of a school. I was never involved in a school or been around a school that actually caught on fire, but they run constant and regular fire drills, and they don't deal with panic. It's just preparation, again, as we mm-hmm. talked about earlier. It's a good thing to prepare. The numbers are real. If you look at statistically across this country, and well, from about 99 to 2013, there's been almost 700 scenarios where deadly force could have been or was used in our churches across the United States. So, you know, that's a fairly good number. And in those, there have been a multiple amount of deaths, about 250 or so, another 357 or so being injured in those reports. So it is a real thing. And we do have a responsibility. We want our people to come and worship freely, and we don't want to be alarmed or scared. But we have a certain responsibility for their safety, I think, why they're there. They come and want to feel safe.
And absolutely. You know, and you think about it, especially in some, you know, larger churches probably more have to be more aware of this, but even smaller churches, you think you got, for instance, on a typical Sunday morning, you've got a church service going on, or well, during the Sunday school hour, you've got people scattered about the building. They're in classrooms, there's children, there's a nursery, and you've got various entrances to the building, to the facility. And like I said, you've got new people coming in that you might not recognize right away. And, you know, the threat is credible.
Sure. Definitely is. And, you know, we just want people to kind of be ready for those things and not be caught off guard. When I was a police officer, we used to talk about terrorist targets and mm-hmm. those that like to cause fear and panic in people. They'll hit certain areas, and where they want to hit you is in areas where you feel most comfortable.
Right.
And churches were one of the top areas in which we were trained to keep an eye out for things on, because that's an area, let's face it, you take your family on a Sunday morning, mm-hmm. Sunday night, and you're just there to sit back. You're not thinking about the things of the world. You're listening to the preacher preach. You want to hear about mm-hmm. God's word, and you're really not thinking about the affairs of everything going on. And so it's a comfort zone for us, and so it is a target area. And so we certainly want to be prepared in case anything would happen. And again, the chances of it happening, the chances of your child being killed in a school shooting or shot, school shooting is 1 in 2 million. So that's very small. We want to think the same thing with our church. It's very, very rare that type of thing is going to happen. But boy, when it does, if you're not prepared, then we have the major problems. If your preparation is there, then you may be able to stop it quickly and maybe altogether before anything would actually take place. So that's the goal.
Now, as a pastor, I'm going to pick on myself here for a moment, short of putting up a bulletproof pulpit to hide behind if something happens, what would be a good thing that myself or perhaps another pastor that's out there listening think, what could I do as a first step? You talk about being more aware, but some practical things.
I would make sure that as a pastor, I knew the men in my church that were carrying CCW, they had CCW permits and were carrying in the church.
Concealed carry weapons.
As a matter of fact, the way the law is written right now, the pastor is supposed to know. The only way you're supposed mm-hmm. to be carrying a gun in a church is if you've got the pastor or deacon board, depending on what type of government you have for your church, has to have given you permission to carry. You can't just come into a church carrying without the permission of whoever's in charge. Much like you will a business owner has to give consent one way or the other. So the pastor needs to know, but if a pastor knows who those men are and gives them consent to carry, then he can position them in places in the church, have them sit in certain locations to avoid things like crossfire, et cetera. And you can also have them be aware. If you have a security team, they can be in a position where even as they're seated in the services, if something would happen, they're there to kind of get in. I'll give you an example of what I had happen at a church that I was at. During the middle service, preacher was preaching away, and I had sitting about midway back on the inside aisle, and a guy came into church. I hadn't seen him before, didn't know who he was, didn't recognize him at all, but he came walking straight down the aisle in the middle of the preaching service right at the pastor.
Right.
You know, well, normally people would just watch and see if something's going to happen. My first instinct was to begin to move over and get up and kind of walk in behind the guy so that if anything mm-hmm. happened, I was right there. Well, the guy came in and sat down. It turned out that he was a husband of one of the women in our church, just had never been there before. And he said, you know, I was out driving around. The Spirit of God just told me to come in and sit with my wife. So I did. Mm-hmm. You know, nothing happened. I never confronted him, never said anything to him, but just moved on aside and kept going, went about my business. But you need people that are ready. And no, if somebody would get up, come to try to attack the pastor and come in, you don't want to wait until after it's over with. So it's good to have people there, a few people handpicked that are just watching for those types of things.
Now, you mentioned security teams. What would constitute a security team? What kind of people or who would you try to select to be on a security team?
Well, certainly the last thing I would want is any hotheads in my church. You know, you want to pick those people that are pretty level-headed, mm-hmm. that aren't going to be looking for trouble. It seems like everywhere you go, there's certain people that just want to be in the spotlight, and so they're going to look for problems.
Right.
You want people who are good-hearted people, and they're going to look to use you know, the least amount of anything they'd have to use to control. They just want them to be paying attention. And good people, greeters are good people to use. Ushers are good people to use. Traditionally, ushers will sit in the back of a service in the chairs.
Right.
And so they've got a good overview of things going on in the auditorium as well as people coming through the doors of the church. They can kind of keep an eye on welcome center, et cetera. Those are good people to have. It's not a bad idea if you're the type of church that has people on a platform to have maybe a couple up there with you too so they can observe and watch.
Mm-hmm.
But you definitely want good-natured people. Be really careful who you pick. There's some Dirty Harrys out there, if you will, with these CCW permits, and we don't want those on our security team.
Well, if you happen to have some law enforcement officers in your church, either active or retired, they'd probably be a good pick too, I would think.
Yes, and under the law, they're a little bit different than your normal permit holder. They don't have to have permission. You really can't stop them from carrying if they're an active duty officer, mm-hmm. or even retired under certain laws. So they are obviously the best people to have because they have the training and they qualify regularly. So
now we've got a couple of minutes left here, and actually less than 5 minutes, and we'll get your website out here again in just a moment. But another thought occurred to me while we're talking. We've been concentrating mostly on during the services, like the Sunday services or midweek services or something like that. But something that I've known from visiting different churches in the past is a lot of times during the week, the pastor will be in there, maybe a handful of people will be in there doing something, and a bunch of entrances to the building are open,
right?
And anybody could wander in. Our church, when we were meeting in a building, my habit was just during the week just to lock the doors because we were near the Ohio Turnpike, near Interstate 77. And we get a lot of people hitchhiking who would come in and try and get money.
Sure.
And they you know, if the door wasn't locked, they just wander in, and you don't know who that is. So a quick couple of suggestions there, maybe.
It's just smart to keep most of the entrances locked. Some of the churches, and it depends on how big you are and how the positioning of the office area is. But even if you can see the front doors, you may want to keep only the front door open and nothing else. Mm-hmm. Maybe put a buzzer on the door so you know when somebody comes in. Those are things that I've run across
here
and there.
Obviously.
Yeah, sure. And actually, there's so many areas of this that we do need to think about. And just to quickly say that, you know, many churches today still have people going out knocking on doors. You can run into things on the street. All mm-hmm. kinds of problems can happen. We want to help you with any of those things that we possibly can. General self-defense, general defensive tactics, general security issues, and anything we can do to help out a church, that's what our goal is.
All right. And, of course, a lot of your information is available at lawandgraceministries.org. That's lawandgraceministries.org. And, of course, we've been talking with Chris Hofacker today, and he has a ministry, Law to Grace Ministries. And it's been a great time, or great having you on the program here today. We got, just a couple of minutes to go here. Any last parting thought here? I could say parting shot, but that I don't know if we want to say it that way. But
I just think that it's a good thing, as you mentioned at the very beginning of this, to be prepared, be ready to go. There's huge liabilities issues involved at church, just as there is in regular business, if you don't make preparation for things. You know, we often think that if somebody would use too much force on somebody coming through our door, they would sue us. But the officer or the person that you're using as security, if you put them in that position and haven't trained them, they also could turn around and sue you because you put them in a position and didn't train them on how to take care of what they needed to. So if they get injured, it's as much your fault as it is theirs.
All right. Well, I think bottom line is, just like we saw there in Nehemiah chapter 4, we need to pray to God. We need to trust God. But we also need to be watchful. We need to be aware. We need to be alert. We need to be proactive in these things. And at church, school, anywhere, at home, on your way to church, on your way home from church. And there's a whole other areas that we could get into. We don't have time. We're out of time today. And I want to thank you, Chris, for being with us today. Chris Hofacker of Law to Grace Ministries. You can find out more information at lawandgraceministries.org. That's lawandgraceministries.org. I'll have the information linked to our website. That information will be given here in just a moment as well. And as well as a copy of this program, we'll have it online here in the next day or two, as well as, you know, previous programs you can find. And I want to thank you for being on the program with us today.
Thank you, Pastor Al.
And Lord bless you in your efforts. Like I said, it's a shame we have to have this type of a ministry, but I'm sure glad that you're one of the good guys. You're one of those guys out there, one of the sheepdogs helping watch over the sheep. And the shepherd needs a sheepdog, doesn't he?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Well, amen. I appreciate that. And again, invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And our contact information's coming up. You can join us this Friday night for our Friday night Bible study. We talk about these sorts of issues. We talk about questions and answers. And we meet at 7 o'clock at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express there at the intersection of Interstate 77 and the Ohio Turnpike Interstate 80, midway between Akron and Cleveland. Love to see you, and love to see you on Sunday as well. God bless. Have a great weekend.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by calling 330-659-6561 or by writing Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Pastor Al invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday night at 6. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express from 7 to 9. You can learn more about Pastor Al and the Bible Baptist Church online at live.maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation with Pastor Al this Sunday night at 11 p.m. and again next Friday afternoon at 1:30 on AM 1220 The Word. The preceding program has been sponsored by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield.
The preceding program's views, claims, and/or representations may not have necessarily reflected those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem